son.
I want to give you a little bit of an introduction to Sefer Rus. Rus is a Megillah which we read on Shavuos. We read it on Shavuos because Shavuos is the birthday and it's also the yahrzeit of David HaMelech. David HaMelech was born on Shavuos and he died on Shavuos. And David HaMelech came to be through the events in Sefer Rus. Rus was his great-grandmother. That's why we read on Shavuos. That's why it's timely that we're learning about it now. I'm going to try and finish before Shavuos, or at least most of it. The period of time that it encompasses is the time of the judges, the Shaiftim. That's before there was a king, and there was generations before there was a king. There's at least three generations before there was a king, there was Shaiftim.
Rus was David's great-grandmother?
Great-grandmother.
And they read it on Shavuos.
Read on Shavuos. And, you know, the theme of Sefer Rus is clearly the theme of Malchus Beis David. I mean, there isn't a single aspect that's mentioned in Sefer Rus that's not related to the creation of Malchus Beis David. And Malchus Beis David is not just the creation of a dynasty. Malchus Beis David is the future of the world. So that just, you know, should highlight the importance, the chashivas of Sefer Rus. That Sefer Rus is the salvation of the world. I mean, all the Megillahs we've been learning so far have different angles on that. You know, Esther is Klal Yisrael's Kabbalah Zitara.
It's also from David.
And Yaina, you see the Tikkun Olam even for the non-Jewish, you know, non-Jewish Gentiles of the world, you know, the Gentiles in the world. So, you know, each one of the Megillahs focuses on a different aspect. Shir Shirim is not written in story form. That's a love song between Klal Yisrael and his people, and that's Kodesh Kedoshim. That rises above any of the other ones. Shir Shirim is like. So I'm talking about the Megillahs that we lay in, and that they have a theme to them, which is based on events. You know, Shir Shirim is not directly based on events. So without the Davidic dynasty, without the creation of Malchus Beis David, then the world has no hope and no future. So there's nothing in this Megillah that's an accident. This has to be.
When was this written?
When was it given? It was Nevuah. This was given before the event happened. This is given over to a Navi.
So when they actually write down the Megillah Shavuos?
In the time of the Naviim. I don't know exactly who
they didn't write down all the Nevuahs, did they?
No, they wrote down the Nevuahs that were required for generations. Nevuah is not a history. It's not an annal of history, right? Nevuah is prophecy that was given before the events even occurred. And the ones that were recorded were the ones that we need for all generations. So what we're learning now has relevance to us now. It was the reason why it was included in Tanakh is specifically for this reason, because we need it. We need this now. We need Sefer Rus. We must have Rus. And it was in the time then the judges judged. That's before there was a king. It was before the reign of King Shaul HaMelech. And the leaders of the generations were called Shaiftim. And the Shaifit who led the Bnei Yisrael in the time of Megillas Rus, his name was Ibtzan. Aleph Beis Tzadok Nun Tzavis. Ibtzan was the Shaifit. And Ibtzan had another name. The Gemara says in Babasra that Ibtzan's name was Boaz.
Boaz?
Yes. Boaz was the leader of the Jewish people in the time of Sefer Rus. He was in place of a melech. He was a shefet. He was a judge, but his role was the parnes. He led the Jewish people. He was the leader. Ibtzan and Boyaz are the same person. And it wasn't the days we made Shvaita Shaitim. It wasn't the day that the judges judged. Chazal asked Kakash on this. The double lashon there, wasn't the days that the judges judged. Isn't that sort of obvious? Isn't that what judges do? It wasn't the days that the eaters ate. You know, it wasn't the days that the players played. It wasn't the days that the singers sang. It's redundant. So Chazal said that there's a hidden meaning in this phrase. And it's to be translated by Hebrew Mei Shvaita Shaftim. It wasn't in the days the judges were judged. That means they were deserving of being judged, because the role of judges is to ensure that justice and order prevail. They're supposed to be the vanguards, the champions of justice, and they have to show responsibility in that area. If they don't, if they shirk their responsibility, if they have shortcomings in the area, then they are deserving of judgment themselves. And the judges of that time weren't up to snuff. They were not judging, but they were worthy of being judged. Maybe, so it's not a good time for Klal Yisrael. It wasn't the time that the judges judged. There was a famine in the land. And a man went from Beis Lachem, known as Bethlehem, Yehuda. It was in the area where the Shevet Yehuda received their Nachla, their inheritance. Lagur b'steimayav, to dwell in the fields of Moab. So he left Eretz Yisrael.
Why does it say Ish? Why does it say the person?
Right, why doesn't it say his name? Why does it say Ish? We're going to address that. Lagur b'stei Moav, to dwell on the fields of Moav. Moav is somewhat southeast of Eretz Yisrael. It's outside the border. Who? He went out of Eretz Yisrael? Be'ishtai and his wife, Ishnei Banav, and his two sons. The Targum says it's not an accident that there was a famine. There was a very strong famine in Eretz Yisrael. And the Targum tells us there were 10 famines. 10 strong famines that were decreed from Shemayah to be in the world from the time the world was created until Mashiach comes. There's 10 famines. The purpose of these famines is to rebuke us and to set us straight on our path. First famine was in times of Adam Arishon. That was a chiddush to me. There was a famine in the time of Adam Arishon.
I thought the first one was by... Oh, wait.
The first great famine was in the days of Adam Arishon. The second one was, let's say, 8 generations later in the time of Lamech. Third one was in Avraham Avinu, that we know about.
Was
the famous
first
one
there as well?
It might have been the first one that was recorded. I don't know where these other famines were.
Look at the mirror.
Was the second?
Saying that the first famine.
Lamech.
Lamech? Was the first one there as well.
Yeah, could be. Just, you know, the Targum was saying that he's not telling us where they were. You want to show me the Rashi? Look at
them.
I don't know. I don't know. The fourth famine is in Yitzchak. Fifth famine was Yaakov. Sixth famine was Boaz. So this is number 6. And the Targum tells us that it was in the days of Boaz that he was called Ibtzan, and he was a tzaddik, and he was from Beis Lachem Yehuda. The seventh one is David Melech Yisrael in his days. The eighth one is in the days of Eliyahu HaNavi. That's documented quite well in Sefer Melachim. The ninth one are in the days of Elisha in Shomron. That's by the 10 tribes. And the 10th one has yet to come. But it's a different kind of famine. The 10th, you know, you ever heard the pasuk, Le'rav Lalechem, V'leitzam Alamayim, Kiyim Lishmayez Divrei Hashem? So the 10th one is not going to be a famine for bread. It's not going to be a drought for thirst. it's going to be a famine to hear the word of prophecy from God, because we have no idea what in the world is going on. We're confused. We're in the dark. We have no guidance. You know, we could at best make an educated guess, you know, a proper path. Does anybody know what he's supposed to be doing in life, or where he's supposed to be headed, and what, you know, how to interpret the events of the world? So we are in a state of famine. So now we're talking about the sixth one. The sixth one, Elimelech went out. And there seems to be, a controversy among the Mefarshim. The Mefarshim overwhelmingly say that Elimelech was wrong in leaving Eretz Yisrael at the time of this famine. And so the vast majority of the Mefarshim say that he was wrong. Elimelech was from an aristocratic family. He was quite wealthy. He's someone that needs to be there in a clutch. The people are starving. There's a famine. Where is he going? Why is he leaving? He left. He left because people are banging on his door. And they were crying out for help, for assistance, food, sustenance. And he couldn't take it anymore. So he escaped. That's what Rashi says. Rashi, the Yetzaras Ayin.
Who's Elimelech? How does he fit into the picture?
Elimelech is the... It says, Vayezgish me Beis Lachem, a man left Beis Lachem. That was Elimelech. Elimelech was a descendant of Yehuda. He was from Shevet Yehuda. He was from the family of Boaz. He's actually a brother of Boaz. So he was a member of the aristocracy. He was quite wealthy. And he had the means to support Klal Yisrael. And he packed out, he left. Rashi said, why did he leave? Because he had a very narrow view of things. Tzaras Ayin. He wasn't able to see outside of himself. The tunnel vision. Tzaras Ayin. Tunnel vision. That there's only one thing in front of you, you can't see the needs of others. Tzaras Ayin.
He's still alive at the end of the tunnel, though.
Well, yeah, that's, Rashi's, Rashi paints him as someone that did something wrong, and he was punished.
But he helped Kleister until he left.
Yeah, but then when he really needed him, he left. He did leave.
Was there traffic in the town?
You know, when things were under control...
Well, he had to be, like, some, like, big person, you know.
Well, no, he was a big person. He was David Amalek's great-great-grandfather. When things were under control, when there weren't poor people, when the entire area wasn't destitute... So he was an Adam Chashev. You call him an Ish. You ask him for why you call him an Ish. He was an Adam Chashev. But when there was a famine, that's one of the trials and tribulations of a famine. You know, for poor people, then the sign of a famine is they could starve to death. And for rich people, the sign of famine is what they do. You know, how to react. Do they rise to the challenge or they escape? So he failed and he was punished. According to Rashi, the reason why he was punished was because he left. That's one version of why he was
that's
punished.
That's why he was called Ish in the pasuk?
No, that's why he was punished.
Oh. Ish is a good
guy. Ish, I said Ish usually denotes Hashivas. He was an important person. That's where he didn't go. And that's the Pashupshat. Pashupshat is that he left for the wrong reasons and he was punished.
How was he punished?
He died. He lost all his money, family, kids, everything. That's enough. But now I want to tell you some pshat. I want to tell you a pshat from Rav Moshe Alshich. Rav Moshe Alshich has a question. Why does it say V'yelech Ish when a man went? Why can't you tell us his name?
Because you don't want to per se the person who sinned.
Because they only looked at him as a person.
Why does it say V'yelech?
They collected the money.
Again, the understanding on the surface why you don't mention his name right away is because he was doing something wrong. Eventually, we do mention his name. But in the outset, in the first pasuk, we don't mention his name because he was doing something wrong. But the Rashi has a different interpretation. He has another answer to this question, another approach. So there's another time in the Torah that has the phrase Ve'elachish, and this is a parallel. Ve'elachish mi beis levi ve'yikach es bas levi. Amram, the grandson of Levi, Levi's grandson. Amram married Yocheved, the daughter of Levi. He married her l'shem shemayim. He married her. The Jews were enslaved, and he married her based on a prophecy from his daughter Miriam. Married her. He remarried her. He had been married to her. He had two children, Aaron and Miriam. And then he sent her away because he saw no point in having children.
Moshe was born in the interim?
No. Yeah. Then Miriam told him that he should remarry his wife, and she gave a prophecy that it's going to lead to redemption.
Wasn't she the young?
She was 3 years old. She was a prophetess at the age of 3. Wow. And he remarried her and had Moshe. It says, Ve'yelech Ish by Amram, marrying Yocheved, bringing about the birth of Moshe, and it says, Ve'yelech Ish by Elimelech. Now, what possible connection could there be between the two? And Moshe Alshuk says, because Elimelech knew that the redemption of the entire world is going to come from Moab. I mean, this is going to be a theme
from
which
who?
Moab, the land of Moab. This is going to be a theme which we're going to develop as we go along. But the Geula, he knew. The Geula, the redemption, is going to come from Moab.
People name their kids Elimelech, right?
What?
People name their kids Elimelech.
Yeah.
So why?
He's not the only Elimelech in Tanakh.
Oh, yeah. There were good Elimelechs?
Yeah. I mean, well, the name Elimelech is a good name.
This guy's bad? Is this so clear?
It's a machlaikis.
Someone who's punished and killed, you don't want to name your kid out of that.
It's a machlaikis between Mepharshim. What was his motive for going to the fields of Moab? According to Rashi, he was escaping his responsibility. According to the Alshich, he was going towards his responsibility.
Maybe
he went to Moab because he knew the Mashiach can only come out from a combination of him and Moab. You asked about the name Elimelech?
Maybe what would it
be? Elimelech, if you break into two words,
Eli,
to me, Melech, the king. The king comes to me. Eli Melech. Isn't that awesome? Eli Melech is the king comes to me.
Wouldn't he still be punished though even if he thinks he's going to be good, like, wouldn't he still be punished if he's leaving the rest of the
class? Yeah, so when you have a machlaikas and mefarshim, what a person's motive is, and then there's a machlaikas whether he was motivated by noble intentions or by less honorable ones. So you always say, Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chayim, and people are complex, and they have a mix of motives. And he might have believed that he was going because he knew the king was supposed to come from there. But he might not have been in touch with the real reason. They just was looking for a reason to go there to get away from supporting people.
So if he had like the right intentions... Like
then he wouldn't have been punished, right? If he would have gone to Shem Shemayim, he wouldn't have been punished.
So how can you say that? How can Al-Shach say he was going to Shem Shemayim?
I said it's a mixture of motives.
Because people...
I guarantee you that he thought he was going L'shem Shemayim.
A lot of people have mixed motives.
Yeah, but he thought he was doing it, you know.
Yeah,
it's very hard.
You don't even realize it.
And the greater the person, the bigger his nesayonis in this area. Great people don't commit simple errors.
The
great people have great tests.
Responsibility.
The bigger you are, the harder you fall.
Cheeseburger.
It's not just to eat the cheeseburger. Don't eat the cheeseburger.
It's like religion and all.
There's a commentary which we're going to refer to a lot from, you know, in this sefer. It's written by a colleague of the Mesillas Yesharim. He was a colleague of Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto. And his name is Rav Moshe David Vali. Moshe David Vali, Vav Vav Aleph Lamed Yud. He was a Chavrusa of the Mesillas Yesharim. He actually worked with Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto on his farm. And he wrote a commentary on
Rav Moshe David Vali?
Vali, yes. Vav Vav Aleph Lamed Yud. Wally, Wally. And he gives us a very unique insight to this pasuk. Klal Yisrael needs a king. The world needs a king. We're not going to make it without a king. A king is an integral part of Tikkun Olam. A king is a Kadosh Baruch Hu's representative to make sure that everything runs according to God's kingdom. That's what a king represents. A king represents God's kingdom, everything being under the umbrella of God's rule. A king needs to be benevolent. He has to have kindness. He has to think of others. He has to have care and compassion. A king has to have power. He has to be strong. We're just going to talk about three midas. He has to have chesed. He has to have the power to accomplish what he sets out to accomplish. He has to have power. And Rav Moshe David Vali says another thing that a king needs in order to do what he has to do is a dose of cruelty. Achzarius. Because if his benevolence overpowers him, he won't be able to... Yes, that's din. I mean, there's two parts of it. There's power and then there's cruelty. Those are both subcategories of din. A king, Melech b'mishpat yamid aretz. It's a pasuk. Melech b'mishpat yamid aretz. A king could base the world on mishpat, on justice, on retribution. The Gemara tells us, halacha, melech shemachal al kveide en kveide machal. A king cannot be machal on his covet. Can't. If somebody walks over to Melech Yisrael, smacks him across the face, that person is chayiv misa, and the king cannot pardon him. He's not allowed to pardon him. Kavod HaTor, you're allowed to be Meichel. That's exactly on Kavod HaTor, you could be Meichel.
Hashem Shemayim.
Hashem could do it.
Kavod HaTor, a Talmud Chacham could be Meichel, a Melech cannot. Because it's not a Melech's Kavod, it's not his Kavod.
How can Hashem be Meichel?
It's God's Kavod.
Well, if Hashem can be Meichel, then how can...
No, it's not. The Gemara says exactly the opposite. When Talmud Chacham learns Torah, it's his Torah, it's his Kavod, so he can be Meichel.
But
a king is a king is God's covet. It's not his own covet. He cannot be made.
It's also Christ's covet. He's representative of the nation. Right?
Well, the pasuk says Sam Tassim Alecha Melech. That's what you mean. That the king has to. It's incumbent to place a king over you. If a king can be Michael, then people won't fear the king.
But if Hashem can be Michael on his, then how come? I think he's Malchus.
Because it is Hashem's covet.
For your own, not for someone else's. That's the point.
A king cannot be Michael because it's God's covet. God can be Meichel because it is God's covet. So Rav Moshe David Vali, Rav Moshe David, takes issue with this. He's in a quandary. Where do you find cruelty in Klal Yisrael? There is no cruelty in Klal Yisrael. So we have a problem. You have to make a banana cake and there's no bananas.
Bananas are indicative of
dead. I know somebody used to make banana cake without bananas. They didn't have money, so why should they spend money on bananas?
So it's not banana cake.
Make it with it's banana cake with it, well, you know, without bananas.
Banana
this is back in the Depression. They made banana cake without bananas. How do you make a malchus without cruelty? And there is no cruelty. Isn't that a wonderful statement to say in Klal Yisrael? And Moshe David Vali said that there is no cruelty in Klal Yisrael, so you can't have a king. There can't be a king in Klal Yisrael.
That television.
No, that's comprehensive. That's, you know, he sees all of Klal Yisrael.
And there's no cruelty in all of Klal Yisrael.
Yeah,
it's imported. Cruelty is imported.
Yeah, isn't Lashon one of the Hara. Three things that all Jews are...
It's cruelty, not cruelty.
Cruelty, Achzarius. Lashon Hara doesn't have to be coming from cruelty. It can come from jealousy. Lashon Hara could come from cruelty. You're right. But it doesn't always have to. It doesn't have to come from cruelty. There are. You're
just
asking. You
there
can
are,
ask a question from
there
any
are certain
aveira that Klal Yisrael does. So there's averus to come from ta'usin, from errors in judgment. There are averus to come out of passion, but cruelty in klaish, if it's found, it's direct. It's a direct influence. It's a direct product of the influence of our surroundings. There is no natural
therefore
home.
Therefore, we're not held responsible.
No, therefore you can't have a king. Our point right now is we can't have a king. Of course you're held responsible because if one influences another, I'm saying that our problem which we're dealing with right now is how do we have a king? We have no cruelty. So where's the cruel? What's the cruelest nation on earth?
Well, don't we just
need Amalek?
No, you need cruelty.
Moab. Oh, they didn't give us water or whatever.
Right.
They owed us
their existence. Light was going to be wiped out from Stein. He was going to be wiped out. He was going to turn into molten salt. They owe us their very existence. Hashem sent angels to save the progenitor, the ancestor of Mayav, B'schus Avram. And Avram's great-grandchildren are going through the desert without food and drink, and they did not. They refused to greet them. They refused to bring them sustenance, and that was pure cruelty.
They gave us bags of poison air or something.
That wasn't them. That was the Ishmaelites.
Oh,
that was the Ishmaelites. Ammon and Mayav are the bastion of cruelty.
Terrible people.
That means the Mashiach has to come from Ammon and Mayav.
Because in order to be a king, you have to have cruelty, and there's the cruelty that
right.
you need to get.
But how do you do that? So Mashiach has to come from Elimelech, and Mashiach also has to come from Ammon and Mayav. How are you going to get Elimelech to go to Ammon and Mayav?
Once is Megar, the cruelty leaves her, she's a new person.
Well, just, you know, that is something which we're going to follow up on. You don't want the cruelty of Ammon and Mayav.
I'm saying the cruelty disappears.
No, it doesn't. No. No,
what's
doesn't.
Ammon?
Ammon and Moab are the same. They're two brothers. They're fathers of two nations. They are the children.
Moab.
They're the children of light.
Yeah.
They're also the grandchildren of light. Ammon and Moab. Ammon and Moab. Ayin, Mem, Vav, Nun. Ammon and Moab. So how do you get Elimelech together with Ammon and Moab? Hashem made a famine in Eretz Yisrael, and there was plenty of food in Moab. Elimelech made the choice to leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Moab. To escape the famine. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him this opportunity. He opened up the pathway for him to go because he made it difficult for him to stay in Eretz Yisrael. And he followed it. Elimelech was guilty of averus. You know, whether the leaving Eretz Yisrael in the first place was an avera or not, definitely staying in Moav was an avera. Integrating into Moav was an avera. Kadosh Baruch Hu struck him down. Kadosh Baruch Hu struck down Machlon and Kilian.
It
took away everything and he left Nami. Hashem left one person alive, Nami. And it was Nami's job to bring back that spark of Ammon and Moav that's going to join Klal Yisrael. And that spark was embodied in Rus. So you see how integral this is. This is Kadosh Baruch Hu brought the famine in order to lead Elimelech down to Mayav so that Nami could bring us back. Now Elimelech could have done this L'shem Shemayim and then he wouldn't have died and then it would have played out that way and he would have had a chelik, he would have had a portion in bringing Malchus Beis David, the Mashiach, and then he would have been Zaycha to eternity for that. Or Elimelech did it for his mixed motives. And he was punished for that, but he was still the one the catalyst about that.
About just to like go there and bring her back.
He could have done it totally l'shem shemayim, correct? Go there and bring her back. If you take the word Rus, the gematria of the name Rus is 606. If you take the name of God.
Is it okay?
No, this is Rav Moshe David Vali. The name of God that we use when we refer to him as a king, what's the name of God?
Okay.
It's Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. No.
Oh, very key.
It's Master. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is Master.
Okay, write that.
Adnus. It's called the Shem Adnus. Aleph Dalet Nun Vav Saf.
How do you read that?
Don't do anything. Just leave it. Just leave it.
Just put that in the chain.
The name of Adnus.
Before you write the last letter, you write Hashem's name.
The name of Adnus. Aleph Dal Nun Vav Saf. The name of Adnus. So, Aleph Dal Nun Yud. Aleph is spelled Aleph Lamed Fei. Dal is spelled Dalet Lamed Taf. Nun is spelled Nun Vav Nun Safis. And Yud is Yud Vav Dal. Okay? Alright? So, every word has the revealed spelling and the hidden spelling. The Aleph, Dal, Nun, Yud is the revealed letters, because those are the letters that we see. And the Lamed Fe of the word Aleph. And the Lamed Tav of the word Dalet. And the Vav and Nun Sofis of the word Nun. And the Vav Dal of the word Yud, those are hidden letters, because you don't see them. You know they're there, but you don't see them. So if you take gematria of the hidden letters, that's Lamed Fe, Lamed Tav, Vav Nun Sofis, and Vav Dalet. So tell me what you get.
606?
606. Oh, that's pretty quick math on your
part. Which means that Rus is God's hidden majesty. Okay.
That's equal to the
God's hidden majesty.
That is sick.
Aleph Dal Nun.
But today we're going a little slower because this is like in place of an introduction. When Moshe David Vali continues.
This is slower?
We have to do 4 psukim a day.
Oh god, I'm never gonna make it through.
I don't say as much refreshment on them. Yehuda, you will make it. You could do it. Speaking of Yehuda, it says in the pasuk, Lagur, Vistemar, what did he go for? Lagur.
To live.
To live. You know what the word gur means?
Stranger.
Gur ayeh.
Young lion.
Yehuda. You hear that, Yehuda? Gur ayeh Yehuda. So Yaakov Avinu told his son, he said, yes, my son Yehuda, you are a young lion. It says, Lagur Vistemayav. He went.
To be young?
No. He went to accomplish the destiny of the young lion Yehuda. Lagur, as he went there in order to bring out the light of Mashiach. To bring out the Gur Ayehu. The Mashiach is the one that fights like a lion. He conquers all enemies like a young lion. He has the power. He's a king of the beast like the young lion. So the Torah says, Lagur B'Seimayev. He didn't go there to dwell. He went there to bring out, reveal. This is Rav Moshe David Vali. To reveal the Gur. Lagur. He went there, Lagur. He went there for the purpose of bringing out the young lion of Yehuda. This is a sefer from the Ben Ish Chai on Sefer Rus. Rabbi Yosef Chaim from Baghdad. And the sefer is called Aim Hamelach, Mother of the King. And we're going to be quoting from him a lot. He tells us of our origins. He said, even before the Torah was given, people were careful and not having relations with their wives when their wives had a menstrual period, when they were Nida.
Do they know not to?
It's something which makes sense based on the knowledge of the spiritual world. It's something, you know, it's a tumah.
But to touch them,
even before Mount Tara, that's something which they knew. That's a tumah to produce children from women that are still.
Oh, they can't produce children. Then.
Can't is a relative word. The Ben Ish Chai, Rabbi Yosef Chaim, tells us Avraham Avinu was produced from a relations between his father Terach and his mother Atalia Bas Carnival. Avraham Avinu's mother was Atalia Bas Carnival.
Carnival?
Carnival. Yeah, and she was in need at the time. So don't tell me. But you can't. Avraham Avinu was born from a relationship between his father and mother, while his mother was Anita.
So then that's a good thing. I want my kid to be like Avraham.
Maybe that just means she was...
David HaMelech.
She never went to Mikvah.
David HaMelech was born from a relations between his father and his mother. David HaMelech's father was a Parish. You know what a Parish is?
Yeah, a Parish. Yeah.
He separated himself from El Gaza, and he no longer had relations with his wife. And his wife, L'shem Shemayim, wanted to have more children from him.
And seduced him?
She disguised herself as a Shifcha.
One that popped up?
As a what's woman, a Shifcha.
What's a Shifcha?
A Gentile maidservant.
Yeah.
And then she...
Why would he have relations with her?
Yeah, if anything, his wife, it would make more sense to have relations with.
She seduced him. No one is safe. Remember, the bigger they are, how did it fall?
I also saw in Nevuah that he was supposed to.
And she probably, she was mefat to him. He had relations
she
with
raped
her.
Him.
No, she was mefat to him.
Oinus mefat.
Oinus is rape. Mefat is seduction. So I didn't say oinus. I said mefat. She was mefat to him.
It's all in the same category.
He had relations with her, not knowing, not realizing that it was his wife. And David HaMelech was born for that. That's
it
why
was
there
legit because they were married, but
he
didn't know.
That's why there was a spirit of illegitimacy over David HaMelech. Because there are those that viewed him as the son of a shifcha. Yes. Rus. How did Rus join Klal Yisrael? What was the chain of events that linked her up to Klal Yisrael? And her father-in-law. The cruelty of her father-in-law. You know, that's not the most respectable gateway to come into Klal Yisrael. Then what brought her into Klal Yisrael was her father-in-law's cruelty. There's many more examples of this. The common theme is that the origins of Mashiach are very deep. And we find that the very root, if you dig deep down into where Mashiach comes from, you're going to find some sort of tumor. And it's also something which we're going to develop over time, over the process of Sefer Rus. But, you know, this could help us understand why the Sefer Rus starts out with the famine and Elimelech's cruelty. The cruel person going to the Maya. Why did Elimelech go to Maya? Cruel people go to cruel places. This is all part of Mashiach. It's not Mashiach didn't come despite this. This is all part of bringing Mashiach. The creation of Mashiach, the famine, the leaving. Okay, let's go on to the next pasuk. You ready?
She's not going to come on Shabbos.
Hold on.
What?
I'll call him up. I forgot what he told me. He told me he was calling
us. What's the name of the man? We're all waiting to know. What's the name of the man? Elimelech. B'shem Ishtai, and the name of his wife, Nami. So Elimelech means the kingdom comes to me. Nami means pleasant. Drachah, drachah, ma'am. B'shem Shnei Banav, Machlon, V'chilion. Ephrasim. Rashi says Ephras means that they were distinguished. He has two pshatim. One pshat is Ephrasim is that they were chashiv, they were distinguished. And the other pshat is Ephrat, the name of a place. I'm sure you've all been there. Mi Beis Lachem Yehuda. From the city of Beis Lachem in the area of Shevet Yehuda. Vayivos te Mayav, and they came to the fields of Mayav, Vayu Sham, and they were there. Most of the Farshim say that Machlon and compared to Kilian was righteous, even though you're going to see he also died. So to say he's righteous, it's not 100% accurate. He also died. But most Mufashim say that Machlon was on a totally different level of Kilyan, and this is evidenced by their names, because Machlon is a Lashon of Mechila, Mechila means forgiveness. Kilyon means to be consumed. Vayichulu Hashemayim, complete, to finish. Because Kilyon was totally evil. So Machlam is Mechila. That means that he can attain forgiveness for his evil. And Kilyon is without hope. That's what most of the Parshim say.
Without hope?
Doesn't make sense.
Kilyon means totally consumed.
What?
That meant that that was his Messiah. You're asking me, how could he have that name before they were born?
Like, I'm saying, like, what does it mean? Like, yeah, I'm saying, like, I understand.
Because there's other ways of understanding the name.
So he took the.
Yeah,
aspect.
But Chulu Hashemayim V'aretz is a good way. You know?
Okay, so he.
He took
himself.
The bad aspect of that name.
Okay,
Machlan and Kilyon.
Does everyone have that?
Yeah, sure, but there, but you know, some people have it harder than others. Some people have it harder
Kilyon
than others.
Kilyon got killed.
That's what Kilyon.
Kilyon?
Kilyon.
It's very cute. Kilyon.
Ben Ishkai says, if you take the three names, Elimelech, Machlon, and Nami, the father and mother, and Machlon, you know, leaving out Kilyon. We're discriminating against Kilyon. Elimelech, Machlon, and Nami, the Rosh Tevis, the first letter of those three names is Aleph Mem Nun, which is Amen. Amen's Gematria 91, which is the same Gematria as Yudke Vavke Aleph Dal Nun Yud. So again, you see. Again, you see the formation of Mashiach.
Hashem's
Malchus
always.
91 is the same. What?
Aleph Dal Nun Yud Yudke Vavke.
It's like indicative of Hashem's Malchus always being there.
Yeah, Hashem's Malchus is going to emanate from there.
Like, you know, because Hashem, that Yudkevavke means like he is, and always will be.
Aleph Dal Nun Yud is.
Plus Yudkevavke. The two of them emanate. David HaMelech and Sefer Tehillim. This is just like Amita Shatayra is just so illuminating. In Perek Ayin Aleph in Tehillim, David HaMelech says, Avay Begvurais, I'm going to come by the might of Aleph Dalad Nun Yud Yud Kei Vavke. It's a pasuk. Avay Begvurais, Aleph Dalad Nun Yud Yud Kei Vavke, Aske Tzidkascha, I will proclaim your righteousness, Levadacha, that you alone are righteous. Take a look at the pasuk. So David HaMelech himself is saying that I come by the power of Aleph Dal Nun Yud Yud Kei Vavke, which is Gematria 91, which is the same Gematria as Elimelech, Nami, Machlon, the Rosh Tevis. The Ben Ishkai has a kash in this pasuk. It says, V'shem Shnei Banav, and the name of his two kids. Isn't that a little weird? And the name of his two kids? And the name of his two kids. I'll say it again. And the name of his two kids.
It's like, and the name.
Don't you have two names for two kids? And the name of his two kids. You should say, and the names. The word shame is singular. And Ben Ishkai said the reason why is because Machlon was righteous and Kilyon wasn't. Machlon's sins were forgiven, even though he died, but he died a righteous man. And Kilyon doesn't count. Kilyon doesn't count. So that's why it's Lashon Yachad, because we're only counting Machlon, we're not counting Kilyon. You look in the pasuk, just one more thing, and one more note. At the end of the pasuk, it says, Vayavayu stay Mayav. They came to the fields of Mayav. Vayu Sham, and they were there. Isn't that obvious? And they came to the fields of Mayav, and they were there. So the Medrash says,
unlike when the Jews came,
because their arrival came in stages. When they first arrived in Mayav, they came to the big cities, to the metropolis. to the metropolitan area. And they sugi their rice. They saw him early. They went to Times Square.
Las Vegas.
Azai. And they saw. And they were tzaddikim. The measures, they were tzaddikim. These were not Rishayim. And they ran away. And they went to the villages, because in the villages, people are more modest. They're more simple. They have a simpler way of life. And they ran away to the villages. But in the villages, there was a water shortage. So they went back to the cities. And that was the mistake. So you read the pasuk, they came to the Stei Mayav, but Yerusham, that they came twice. They came right away, and then they ran away.
So this shows that they only came for comfort.
I mean, this was their Nisayon. This was their Nisayon. I mean, they tried to make all the right decisions. They're going to Shem Shemayim, they're going to Mayav. They're making Mashiach.
Who makes these decisions?
Elimelech was one of the Eliyahu. He went to Shem Shemayim. He understood Hashem brought a famine. When a Shemayim, I'm supposed to go to Mayav. Hashem made a famine in Eretz Yisrael. And Mayav has food. So when Hashem, he said, Tzadik Yisrael Olam. And then he goes to Mayav with his family for the express purpose of picking up Ruth and bringing her back. Mashiach.
Just like Yaakov
went to Lavan to bring back Mashiach. As soon as Yosef was born, he came back. Bring back Mashiach. They came to the big cities. Gilead Rais, Chasim Shalom. Tzadikim. They go to the villages. There's a water shortage. This is called Avera Gerera Sabera. One thing led to another. They went back to the cities. And they went down. And they died. All right, Mitch Hashem, what's today? Today is Tuesday?
Yeah.
So tomorrow.
That's unlike when the class I went to.